Today we're going to be continuing in the series of messages in personal growth. We've looked at drawing near to God and what that truly looks like and what is required for us to draw near to Him and then He draws near to us. We saw last week how we should be individuals that have a faith that needs no encouragement. Many times we have wonderful services. We have wonderful services with wonderful messages. Yes, Pastor. And we make commitments and make vows based on those commitments. And then we try to fulfill those commitments. Time will truly tell. How will our lives be different by the commitments we make? How will our behavior be different? How will our attitudes or actions be different based on the commitments that we've made? Truly, whenever we make a commitment, whenever we make a vow, that will always be tested. Did we truly mean what we said we meant? Do we really want to do what we said we want to do? Many times those commitments are tested. And we get to see what God already knows to be true regarding the commitment that we made. I'd like to have you turn with me this morning to Psalm the 66th chapter. Psalm 66. The psalmist is sharing a few thoughts that he has made a commitment. He has made a vow, and he is now getting ready to fulfill that. So we see how he is going to fulfill this and what all is involved in that. I'd like to have you turn with me this morning to Psalm 66, and we're going to read just a few verses, and then we're going to look at what God would have us to take from this today. Psalm 66, verse 13. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Psalm 66, beginning in verse 13. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows. Notice there's a comma there. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto you burnt sacrifices of fatlings with incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. Come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you that you have brought us here to worship you because you are the one that is truly worthy of our worship and praise and adoration. And Father, we thank you for each one that is here. We thank you for our guests. And Father, we pray a special blessing into the life of every individual. We pray that we might see how we can carry out our commitments and what it will take for us to do that. Father God, give us strength today to hear this message, to take it to heart, and to allow you to change our lives forever. We thank you this day, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Carrying out our commitments. Let me explain a little bit regarding our text. Have you ever heard of a foxhole conversion or a foxhole commitment? It's when you find yourself in a foxhole and the enemy is shooting at you and you take cover in that foxhole and you start praying, oh God, if you just save me, I will do this. Oh God, if you'll just let this problem pass, I will do this. Many of us find ourselves excuse me, find ourselves in a foxhole when there is a health issue in our lives. Oh God, if you'll just heal me, I will do this. Notice what the psalmist said. He says, I will bring you my burnt offerings, and I will pay you my vows, which I uttered with the lips of my mouth during my time of trouble. A foxhole conversion, a foxhole commitment. And many times when we make those commitments are tried and tested. Those commitments truly allow us to see who we are and did we truly mean what we said we meant. Did we truly make that commitment being led by the Lord? Or was this simply something that we dreamed up on our own? The psalmist says, I'm going to bring now my burnt offerings and the incense of rams because I have uttered the things with my mouth when I was in a time of trouble. And you have blessed me, so that's what I'm going to do. See, whenever God comes through for us, whenever we see Him do something that only He can do, whenever He saves us from that tragedy that we are praying to Him about, we like to begin to fulfill that commitment, but many times in our lives, that commitment seems to wane. That commitment seems to falter. That commitment seems to fall short. But notice what the psalmist said. He said, all you come and hear what the Lord God has done for me and my soul. And it became his testimony of God's goodness and of God's grace. See, I believe that if we're going to truly personally grow, yes, we need to have a faith that needs no encouragement. Yes, we need to draw near to God, but we also need to carry out our commitments. Can I hear an amen? Many of you have committed to letting the Lord lead you to serve in a certain capacity. And isn't it interesting that the pastor would have a commitment message when we're receiving commitments today? See, I didn't know that we were going to do this today, because almost 9 weeks ago, I put this message together with the plan of preaching it on the 29th. That is today, right? Yes, on the 29th. I have it scheduled that way in my sermon log, in my sermon schedule. And then they come to me and say, wouldn't it be nice to have a little basket up there to where people can bring their commitments? And it's like, oh God, I couldn't have planned that if I wanted to. It's amazing. And then in our Bible study, people say, well, it's like you've been hanging out in my closet at home and you're talking directly to me. No, God might be hanging out in your closet and talking directly to you. But it's amazing how God does all of these things. For us to truly carry out our commitments, the first thing we need to realize is that we have to have a fight. We have to have a fight. Now, I know that's not good English. I know that's not good grammar. We have to have a fight. And the first person we're going to have a fight with is we're going to have to fight Satan. Now, we don't always fight Satan himself. We fight the dark forces that are all around Satan, his demons and his demonic angels and so forth and so forth. Because many times when we make a commitment, Satan comes against us so that we cannot fulfill that commitment. The disciples were told to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus said, go over there and I'll meet you over there later on. So they get in the boat, halfway over, they're doing the perfect will of God. Jesus told them to do it, and they're doing it, and guess what happens? A storm blows up, and they can't make the progress that they need. Guess what? When we make a commitment, there's going to be a storm blow up that pushes against you so that you cannot fulfill the commitment that you've made to Almighty God. They're doing the perfect will of God, and now a storm comes up. And now it blocks them from progressing in the direction that God wants them to go. And Jesus comes, walking on the water, and he stills the storm, and notice what he says, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" We're going to have a fight with Satan. Because Satan will always oppose you whenever you make a commitment. Let me tell you how that works. Years ago, BC, before Christ in my life, I was not the person that you see standing before you now. Would you all agree? Are you the same as you were BC? No, you shouldn't be. God should have been changing you to be a different person. Well, see, there were things in my life I lived in ways that were not pleasing to God. And when I went into get saved and I got saved and went into the ministry, the first thing that Satan started to do is to oppose me by making difficulties in my marriage. Satan will always distract. Satan will always be discouraging. Satan will always disable you so that you cannot fulfill the commitments that you've made. So, powers of darkness come against me and our marriage. And because of that darkness, Kathy and I drew together with God, and our marriage became stronger. Don't you know that Satan went, rats? See, if I can't get him, then I'll just attack the church. And he did that in several of the pastorates and made some difficulties within the churches. Nothing that he couldn't control, God couldn't control. But then later, he gave me a health problem called ulcerative colitis. Now, I don't know if you know what ulcerative colitis truly is, but our body has a way of detecting whether food is good or not good. And when the food is not good, our body tends to reject that by regurgitating it or flushing it out the other way. Okay? Ulcerative colitis, it can get so bad that there are ulcers within your colon and they start to bleed, and it's just an ongoing process, and everything that you eat, the body thinks is tainted, so it wants to get rid of it immediately. It's nasty. Well, if that doesn't slow him down, we'll see what else will. So I left the pastorate, went into full-time evangelism. That was going great, doing 3D living and evangelism accompanied by physical training. Woo! Can't get any better than that, amen? And then I developed a heart problem where my heart actually jumps out of sinus rhythm somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 times a day. And when it jumps out of sinus rhythm, it jumps into what they call tachycardia, which is the heart is pumping so fast and beating so fast that blood can't get into the heart, so it's not life-sustaining, so it's not pumping any blood throughout the body. And my heart does that about 2,000 to 3,000 times a day. So what do? They put me on a bladder blocker so that my heart just goes like this. Thump, 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 thump. That's the way my heart beats. And when I exert and I walk from my pickup across the meadow to my deer stand. I get there and I'm going, why? Because my heart's just doing this. It doesn't speed up. As you exert, normally your heart speeds up. Mine does not because of the medication I take, which keeps me more in sinus rhythm. Oh, mercy. I truly enjoyed now my heart condition and the ulcerative colitis. Whoopee! James says, celebrate when you fall into all different kinds of problems. Well, lo and behold, we moved back to Illinois so we can be closer to the family and closer to the grandkids. Little church at Pocahontas calls me, and pretty soon Eastview Baptist Church calls me. You guys. Oh, joy. Oh, joy. And Satan, powers of darkness, come knocking on my door once again. Now we're looking at diabetes. Oh, joy! My blood sugar was 800. Eight times what it should be. They thought I was going to pass out and go into a diabetic coma. So we put them on medication, and slowly but surely it's coming down. This morning was only twice as high as it's supposed to be. I'm doing much better now. Between the diabetes, the heart problem, and the ulcerative colitis, oh boy. That's the way Satan attacks. Satan will always use the powers of darkness to hinder your progress. Satan will always try to keep you from fulfilling that commitment. That's why we have to have a fight. And we're going to fight first with Satan. We're also going to fight with sin. You know, sin, at first, appears to be fun. Amen? It's fun sometimes to be bad. Come on now. If you're lying, you're dying. Sin, at times, begins to be fun. It's fun. Sometimes. I know what that's like. I lived for 32 years sinfully. It was fun. But I'll tell you what, it always ends in destruction. It always ends in death. And it didn't end in my death. It ended in the death of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for me because of my sin. We're going to have to fight sin. It's hard sometimes to say no. It's hard sometimes to try to walk the path that God has chosen. I used to live my life any way I wanted to, and I felt great. Now I can have an evil thought and be miserable for a week. I don't know if that works for you or if that happens for you. But we're going to have a fight with sin. We're also going to have a fight with society. Society will tell you, don't be a radical. You don't have to go to church every single Sunday. You don't have to go Sunday night, certainly. You don't have to go to all the different special events. Don't be a radical. Come on. Be like everyone else. You can have it your way right away. If you want to go to Burger King. Society will tell us, that's just not normal. Yeah. We walk out of the house and get into the truck, and I notice neighbors out raking leaves. They used to wash the car. No, it's too cold to do that. We rake the leaves now. But we're going to have a fight with society, because society says, our belief system is all messed up. That we're weird. That we're strange. That's what society says. We're also going to have a fight not only with Satan and sin and society, but a fight with self. A fight with self. You know, we sometimes inflict the most damage on ourselves. Most of the things that we do, we suffer the consequences for it, and we go, why, Lord, are you allowing this to happen in my life? Well, it's a consequence, a natural consequence of what you've done. We have to have a fight with self, because many times, self will always try to find the right course. They will always try to logically reason something that is wrong to be totally right. And see, that's an argument with self. So if we're going to truly carry out our commitments, we're going to have a fight. We'll have to have a fight with Satan and with sin and with society and with ourselves. Secondly, we need to have faith. We have to have faith. And I would say that we need to have faith, first of all, in our Christ. Faith in our Christ, that He is the one that wants what is best in our lives. He wants what's best in your life. He went all the way to the cross at Calvary to die for us. That should prove that He loves us the most. It's hard sometimes when things come upon us to truly have faith. Many of you know, a couple months ago, Danielle, our daughter, I guess Kathy's back there, our daughter, was with child. And we celebrated and everything, and then we found out that it was a tubular pregnancy. And that just didn't work out too well. She ended up having a miscarriage, and of course there's an emotional trauma that goes with that. And her and Aaron went through all of that together. And so it was, very trying on them, and it hurt them. Well, a week ago, we learned out that Danielle's pregnant again. Woohoo! There we go. Now we're on our way. They want their third child. Yay! That's great. Hopefully it's a little boy. Well, Kathy went to get her hair fixed yesterday and then called me that Danielle started spotting. She went to the emergency room and they did an ultrasound, and they could not tell, but her beta count was where it's supposed to be if she's pregnant, so we don't know. She's going to have to wait a week and then go back. What a miserable week that's going to be. Have faith in Christ. Do you know what it's like for the father, me, to tell Danielle, oh, just have faith? Really, Dad? He wants what's best for you. This is it? Yeah, it is. See, many times we don't know His plans, and we can look back many years later and realize that those situations that came up, those complications that came up, they were exactly what I needed at the time. To have faith in our Christ. To have faith, secondly, in our commitments. We need to have faith in our commitments, that God has led us to make this commitment, and that this commitment was not just us dreaming up our biggest thing that we could think of to serve God. God leads us in our commitments, and if you are sensitive to His leading, you can check a few of those boxes off. He leads us to make the commitments that we need to make. But more than that, we need to have faith not only in our Christ and not only in our commitment, but in other Christians. Have faith in other Christians. See, God speaks to us several different ways. He speaks to us through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through the circumstances of life. But more than that, he speaks to us through the church, through you guys. See, that's the way he speaks to us. And when someone is walking in harmony with God, they're a mature Christian, and they give us a piece of advice, many times we could alleviate the problems that we're going through if we just take the advice of a mature Christian. That advice, many times, is led by the Lord for them to give you that advice. Dick Powell, many of you have heard me talk about him. He was a mentor of mine. He was a minister of music at two of the churches that I pastored. I used to hunt out on Dick's property, and many times he would have me over for Texas chili. Texas chili just has meat. It has no beans. Okay? It's not real chili if it's got beans in it. And it needs to have about that much grease right at the top. Floating. Yeah. So you go down through the grease and get your chili, Texas chili that is, and put it in your bowl. Oh, it's good chili, all right. It'll talk to you all day long. And Dick Powell we'd be sitting on the couch eating chili. And he would set his bowl aside. And Dick Powell's only like 5'4". And he'd get in front of me and he'd just bend over and he'd talk like this. And his veins would pop on his neck and he'd spit on me as he's talking. Oh my goodness. Some of the conversations we used to have. One of these days, Dick is going to show up here, and I'm going to have him sing for you. He's got a voice from the heavenly realm. A tremendous tenor voice. But he gave me encouragement. He mentored me. And it's so good to know that God used him in ministering to me. So we need to have faith in other Christians. Thirdly, we need to, if we're going to carry out our commitments, we're going to have a fight, we're going to have faith, and thirdly, we need to have fun. Fun. In a Baptist church? Fun? Are you kidding me? That's not Baptist. Why, we ought to be singing, "I Shall Not Be Moved." We need to have fun. You know, we need to have fun because of the fellowship of the Savior. He is the one that fellowships with us and we fellowship with Him. And it's tremendous. When we are fellowshipping with the Savior, there's a sweetness that takes place in our lives. And many times, He is preparing us for future ministry to someone else within the church or even outside the church. It's the fellowship of the Savior. And it's fun. You know, there is nothing that's more fun than seeing God do something that only God can do, that man can't do. I pray, God, don't let us accomplish anything that we can humanly accomplish. But God, I want to see you do something that only you can do. That's my prayer. And the most fun is to be in participation with Him when He does that. It is amazing the things that I have seen Him do. But we also need to have fun because of the fellowship of the saints. I used to think it was fun to go out and get drunk. Hello. You know, when you drink so much alcohol that you can't think straight and you can't walk a straight line, you can't take a sobriety test, and you're singing little stupid songs like "Starkle, Starkle, Little Twink, Who the Heck You Are, I Think." And you just, your eyes don't focus. You stumble around. And if you drink too much, sometimes you just get sick. Oh, that's fun. And in the morning, your head hurts. Oh my goodness, don't talk so loud. I'm only whispering. Don't scream at me. And we say, that's fun. Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what's fun. And that's to gather with a whole group of people and do a fall festival. Amen? That's fun. I'll tell you what, there's going to be some fun this afternoon putting everything together. There's going to be some fun tonight. We're going to have a great time. And see, that's all about carrying out our commitments. Lastly, to have fellowship with the Spirit. As He is leading us and guiding us, He is protecting us, leading us according to God's perfect will. God wants us to live His will. He's not trying to play peekaboo with you. He doesn't want to do that. He simply sometimes moves to a higher plane and He wants you to follow Him there. So that many times, it's a sweeter communing. And that's why He's done that. So that He can use you in a greater way. See, if we're going to have a fight with Satan and with sin and society and self, if we leave out the faith, if we leave out the fun, we're going to fail. It's that simple. We have to have faith and we have to have fun. Because if it's not fun, guess what happens? We won't do it. Today we're going to have a song of invitation. What kind of a commitment are you making to the Lord Jesus Christ? If our worship team would come, we can go to the next slide. There we go. God will enable us to carry out our commitments. I'm going to move slightly. I know that many of you are thinking, what's he doing with that stool? That's the invitation. Oops, sorry. There. That's the invitation to simply come and allow the Lord to lead you as you check off the boxes where you believe the Lord would have you to serve. This is your offering of service, your sacrifice of service. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing this song. And as we stand and sing, I'm going to encourage you to come and put your commitments in the little basket. You come as we sing.
People said.
Amen. You may be seated. Kay comes, and she would like to share a few things. She said, "Don't embarrass me." No, I'm not going to. But she came this week, and I talked with her a little bit while some of the gals were back there getting things ready for the fall festival. And she said she'd like to rededicate her life. She'd like to make that commitment. And so she's trusting you all to help her in this walk. Amen? Amen. So she also shared that she wanted to be baptized. And she's already been baptized, and that's fine. But if it will help her in her walk, I say yeah. Amen. Amen? What would be the pleasure of the church? I bring her before you as a candidate for baptism. Would you say amen? Amen. 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 All those opposed say no. Oh, look at that. Very good, very good. Today, we're going to have the Lord's Supper as well. So I pray that this might be a time of commitment for you, as you're not only committing to serve in different ways throughout the church, but that you are committing to the Lord and to His leadership in your life, okay? Bless you, Kay. You can take a seat. If our deacons would come at this time, we're going to go ahead and partake of the Lord's Supper. Be like the blind leading the blind if I don't have my glasses on. It's a privilege to be able to serve the Lord's Supper today. And I am reminded about what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Roland, would you bless the bread, please? John wrote in the sixth chapter, he said, "This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat the manna and now are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Amen. And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Jeff, would you bless the cup, please? Thank you. he took the cup, and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Amen. Let's all be dismissed. And I pray that you come back tonight for the fall festival. But more than that, I pray that your heart has been touched by the Lord himself. Oh, yes, we need the men to move the tables. Thank you, Roland. And what? Oh, bring friends. Yes. Okay. Let's be dismissed. Father God, you are so good, so great. We thank you, Father, for who you are. We thank you for this message that we can truly know that we're going to have a fight, but we need to have faith and that we need to have fun. So, Father God, we pray that you'll bring us back tonight so that we can do just that. Help us to fellowship with the others that are here. Help us to serve in areas that are needed. And, Father, most of all, help us to share the precious gospel with someone tonight that needs it. And we thank you and we praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen.